And as a result, there is a misunderstanding, the truth of the Bible. I call this to mind because Jesus said in the 24th chapter of Matthew for us to search the scriptures. And when Jesus made that statement, there was no new judgment yet, was there? What was he talking about? Search the Old Testament, the scriptures. And as well as belief. And if we are able to understand that God's times and purposes, we must study the Old Testament as well as the New. For instance, Jesus gave us 42 parables. A parable of the dark stone, hard to be understood. How can we understand by studying the Old Testament as well as the New? We have to look at Revelation and look how it is, symbolical language, how can we understand it by studying the Old Testament as well as the New? The entire Bible, Jesus said, wild ways in truth. That takes in the entire book, doesn't it? We're not going to leave out anything. We're going to quote from the Old Testament as well as the New. Joys of the judgment day, how the Bible is being misunderstood. And how wonderful it has been to be. Some time will come for all mankind to see it. For the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. Many of the men in salvation, they are living, they are living in power. They are on the way to the Lord from the least of them unto the greatest of men. And I think that day is at hand. The first scripture I call to mind is Acts 17:31. Perhaps many of you have memorized this. God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he's given assurance unto all men in that he's raised him from the dead. Who could that be? I hear you say that's Christ Jesus, that's the Lord. That's right. God has appointed a day, not a 24 hours. Oh no, we made a mistake. I was taught that when I was a boy. The Bible doesn't teach that. Listen to what the Bible teaches. 2 Peter 3:8. That day with the Lord is a thousand years. And a thousand years is one day. What a different story. In the 90th Psalm, beginning with the first verse, we read, O Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place to all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the world or the earth, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction. Father Adam. But thou sowest in the future, return, ye children of men, for a thousand years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as I watched him in the night. And in the morning, in the morning of the judgment day, in the morning of the kingdom day, in the morning of the resurrection day, they are like the grass which grows up. There we have the entire plan of God, incorporated in that one sound. Isn't it marvelous? We've overlooked many of these things. One day of the Lord is a thousand years is one day. Father Adam was given a day. The Lord said, in the day that thou eatest thereof the forbidden fruit, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Did Adam die in that 24-hour day? No. Genesis 5:5. Adam lived 913 years and he died. He died within that day. What day? What day? Who told you it was a 24-hour day? He died within that day. 930 years and Adam was dead and he killed him. Waiting for the last day. And then he returned. Thou turnest man to destruction, but thou sayest, return, ye children of man. Father, Adam, and the human earth. Jesus of John 6:44. No man cometh to me except the Father which sent me draw him. Let us get that in our minds this afternoon if we get nothing else. No man cometh to me except the Father which sent me draw him. And I will raise him up in the last day. The last day is what? The 1,000-year day. I'd rather speak slowly, so to impress upon our minds. This is what the Bible teaches from Genesis to Revelation, and oh, how it's been twisted and walked and misunderstood and told of doomsday, the 24-hour day, and the Lord is still upon the cloud, and they'll come up. And then every man, woman, and child will have to pass the judgment seat. Well, bless your heart. Think it over with me. How many lived since Father Adam? About 20,000 million. And 20,000 years would pass the judgment seat in 24 hours. That would mean the Lord would judge 250,000 every second. Is that reasonable? How nonsense is that? No, the Bible doesn't do that. Jesus said, for every idle word that man shall say in this life, he shall give an account thereof over there in the day of judgment. I think it'd take 1,000 years, don't you? Now reason with me. 1,000 years. The entire human race. All dead in Adam. As in Adam all died. 1 Corinthians 15:21. As in Adam all cried. Did it say that? That's what I was talking about. As in Adam all died, the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ, the second Adam shall all be made alive again. You couldn't make anyone alive unless they were dead. Think. It's going to be made alive. In the 1,000-year day, the last day, the kingdom day, the resurrection day, the judgment day, the God has appointed the day in the which he will judge the world, the human race, all those around about, the dead and living, both young and Gentiles. He's appointed the day in which he will judge the world in damnation. I was taught that too when I was a boy. But don't say that. He has judged the world in righteousness. A righteous judgment. The Lord Jesus. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Wonderful. No wonder we sing wonderful words of life. Let me know the beauty see. Wonderful. Wonderful words of life. I want to read the text. And remember, Jesus said the first scripture, and this is in the Old Testament, and Jesus said, all these things must be fulfilled. You doubt it? Don't do it. come right from the lips of your Savior. All these things must be fulfilled. Even along with the prophet Job. The prophet Job said, the old man shall return to the days of his youth, his flesh to the comfort of a child. You mean that's going to take place right here in Fort Collins, in the earth. The old man shall return to the days of his youth, and his flesh shall become fresher than a child. Why? Job answered, I found the ransom. Found the ransom sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Job didn't find it, but he's coming back and he'll find it. Job coming back? Yes. Remember what Job said? If a man die in trial, shall he live again? All my appointed time will I wait until my change comes. Right down there in the dead. The state of the dead. In Sheol, mistranslated hell. All my appointed days will I wait until my change comes. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. If Job was in heaven, the Lord would need not to call him, would he? Why call him? He's up there in heaven. But he's dead. The dead is dead. The dead know not anything. There's no wisdom or device or work in the grave whither thou goest. Adam died. Job died. They all died. No waiting, waiting. What are they waiting for? They're waiting, friends, for the resurrection of the dead. The last day. The judgment day. Listen. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Feel reverence before Him all the earth. What part of the earth? Just United States? No, darkest Africa. Japan, Korea. The whole earth. Listen. Sing among the Gentiles, all the people of the earth. Sing among the Gentiles that the Lord reigneth. Well, isn't he reigning now? No. He hasn't been reigning. Satan, the devil, is the prince of this world. Oh, I see. 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan, the devil, is the god of this world. That's why evil predominates. Everywhere, corruption, iniquity, unrighteousness, envy, jealousy, hatred, murder, and war. Because we have an evil ruler. But when the judgment day arrives, and it's just around the corner, Christ Jesus will take his great power to reign. And he'll reign in righteousness. Then the world shall be established. Do you think any man can establish this old terraform or this old system in the earth? Oh, they're trying to gain peace when there is no peace. They can't establish this thing. That's impossible. It says the Lord will establish the world. And he will establish it in righteousness. And the world shall not be moved. No, friends, when that kingdom is established, the judgment day begins, it shall not be moved. Remain forever wonderful, isn't it? He shall judge the people in righteousness. Oh, if they only were judged in righteousness today, but they're not. But they're going to be judged in righteousness by a righteous judge. Then he said, let the heavens rejoice. And let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the fields be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. How could they rejoice? The curse shall be removed. They don't rejoice now. There's a curse upon everything. There's a curse upon the earth. But the Bible teaches that the curse shall be removed. There shall be no more curse. Then, friends, the trees of the woods shall shout for joy, symbolically, and the flowers breathe, the trees breathe, everything that has breath shall praise God. That, friends, is what the Bible teaches. Will that bring joy? Do you think it brings joy? Let us pray for it sincerely and earnestly, Lord. Lord, may thy kingdom come. Why, sure, they have been praying for that all during the gospel age, haven't they? Thy kingdom come. You never hear anyone pray, thy kingdom depart, or thy kingdom go up. But every time somebody dies, away they fly, they go up. The Bible doesn't say that. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done where? In earth. Even as it is done in heaven. Listen to this. Why? The Father of the Lord, he cometh to judge the world in righteousness and the people with the truth. Could you pray for anything greater and grander than that? What does the second advent of the Lord mean? It means the judgment day. It means the Lord is going to bring truth and righteousness and bless all the nations and the families of the earth. That's the promise of our Bible. Oh, how much better that is. There's one in Isaiah 28:17. Oh, there's so many we could never handle them. Take all night. I'm just giving you a few. Isaiah 28:17. Judgment, there's your word, judgment, will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plumb. It'll be just like a plumb bob. There's the line, the people will have to walk in it, and they will. Because there'll be no wickedness, no evil rulers anymore. No kings or dictators or queens either upon the earth. Satan will be bound with each other, seize the nations no more. The people will be able to walk in righteousness, just like walking according to a plumb bob. All you carpenters here, you know what a plumb is. Reaches down to the 1/1000th of an inch. Judgment will allow to the line and righteousness to the plumb. And listen to this. And the whole earth shall sweep away the refuge of life. Oh, I see. It's going to be a great hailstone. But you know, it's figurative, it's symbolic. Now ask yourself the question, what is hail? Hail is frozen water, isn't it? All right. And hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. What are all these lies by all these corrupt people in the earth? Right up here, their minds. And how can the hail sweep away that refuge of lies? Hail is frozen water. Water is a symbol of truth. Hard, distressing truth like hail. So sweep away the refuge of lies out of the minds of the people. There's the refuge. Where's the refuge of lies for all those over there? Crucial. In their minds. But the truth. Truth will fill the earth. But the waters come to the sea. Everyone will get wet. Sweep away the refuge of life. There it is in your Bible. Plain as can be. Listen to that. The hail to sweep away the refuge of life. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled. Their covenant with death, yes, they made a covenant with death. What kind of a covenant? Oh, our friend, lying there in the casket. He isn't dead. He's hoping you're not dead. Now I'll preach the same thing. So he's made a covenant with death. My friend, that might last. Why not? Those that are in the grave will come forth. When they come forth, why won't that be a judgment against those that preach the covenant of death? Listen, they said you made an agreement with hell, which is all preach hell. But your agreement shall not stand. Who said that? Your Bible. It shall be disannulled. When the loved ones returned, oh, here comes John Brown. Well, what happened to John Brown? He never went to church. He was a bad man. He got killed in an accident. His head got cut off. Oh, I see. Well, what did they do? Well, they didn't know what to do because he wasn't a member of the church. Well, doctor said he's dead. Better call an undertaker. I'll tell you, when the undertaker gets to the room, they're dead, aren't they? The newspaper said he was dead. God said he was dead. Christ said he's dead. The Bible said he's dead. Everyone that knows the truth will say that John Brown is dead. And they get happy to the minister. And he comes and says, John isn't dead. He's alive. He's moving around. That's just the great mistake has been made. And the resurrection takes place. Oh, here comes Frank Smith. Well, where was Frank Smith? Oh, he'd take up a collection, you know. And he found right here upon the earth. Yes, he's coming back from the grave. And there's John Smith. And he's happy, perfectly satisfied. He's in the paradise of God. Oh, look. Oh, here comes John Brown. He's coming back. And then he, why, John Brown. I thought you was down that hot place. No. My hair wasn't singed and my clothing don't smell fire. I was a thirsty. Now, Smithy, I thought you was up there, you know. Can you take up the question? No, no, no. No, I didn't get there to be. Yeah. Right here upon the earth. That's going to take place just as sure as you're in that seat. That's what you're asking. Will that be a judgment? What did Jesus say? Out of thine own mouth, I will judge thee. The things you could talk and the things you could preach. There's John Brown, you preached him in hell. And there's Frank Smith, you preached him up there. Here comes the preacher. He's down here too? Of course he is. Oh. When the preacher sees John Brown, he begins to run. What? Judgment! Judgment! Judgment, I was only in the mouth that I judged thee. Oh, my dearly beloved. But what will be essential to do? Make restitution. Ask God for forgiveness. Take and cover to the hand. And ask the Lord to forgive God's mercies endure forever. God is a merciful God. He's a God of love. And Jesus Christ is the personification of love. And of a righteous judge. And that will take place right here in the earth. And you're going to see it. Man is going to see it. And all men are going to see it. Whether they believe it or not. For all that are in their graves shall hear the voice of the Son of God and come forth. You think anyone get out of that? No. Bring back all of them. Is that so? Yes. What did your text say? God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. Both good and bad? Yes. There shall be a resurrection of the dead. Of the dead. Those that are dead. Resurrection of the dead. both of the just and the unjust. That same morning, you need to know that, don't you? What a plan he saw. And we never saw it. We never saw the plan of God until just recently. I couldn't get head or tail to it. But now it's all clear. It's plain. The kingdom day, the judgment day, the resurrection day, the thousand year day. Listen to this one. New Testament, 2 Timothy 4:1. And it says here, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ who shall judge the quick and the dead at his coming and his appearing and his kingdom. When will they be judged? When they die, no. Don't say that to lie. To be judged at his kingdom. When the kingdom comes, who will be judged? The quick and the dead. The living and the dead. Even those fallen angels will be judged at that time. I see. And those that have gone through the past into the kingdom. Do you think there'll be some? Oh, yes. The great battle will rage. It's beginning to rage now in the earth. It's coming like a thief upon all that dwell upon the face of the earth, isn't it? Intelligent men everywhere asking the question, what's wrong? What's wrong? Can you understand what's going on? Like the fire that said in Rochester, New York, while I was there, had it out on the front page of the paper, a great time, it said, we can't understand it, but the things that have transpired in the earth in a short period of time. How the knowledge is increasing. Everything is pushed back and pushed back. I can't understand it, but we can. The Lord told us through the prophet Daniel. Speaking down in the 12th chapter of Daniel, he says, knowledge would be increased. When? When men shall run through and throw over the earth. You see a man being thrown the earth? You'll have a chance before you get home. Yeah. And there shall be such a time of trouble as there never was since there was a nation. Never was so much trouble in all history, and that one it would take place. What? Knowledge increased. Where does it come from? The Pharisee of the Lord. The presence of Christ. And they don't know it. And you can't tell them. They won't listen. They don't read the Bible anymore. Oh, how clean it is. Wonderful. To live in the Pharisee of the Lord, in the presence of Christ. Increase of knowledge comes from the Lord. That's where it's coming from, and they're all going to know it ere long. And he said, who shall judge the quick? Those that are still living. And the dead. When? At his appearing, of the corruptors, and his kingdom. That's when it's going to take place. Are we happy about it? Why, of course we are. You know, there's one setting in the book of Revelation, the 14th chapter, that I always like to talk about. There we see the Lord sitting upon the clouds, having a golden crown upon his head. Well, you say it's the Lord, I believe it is, because he's the one that wears the golden crown. Christ, he's the Lord. And he has a sharp sickle in his hand. And he's commanded to thrust in his sickle and reap the earth. That's the harvest of the gospel age. That's right. Oh, well, we know that. Understand it. That's when he's selecting the reapers, selecting the bride. Those that will rule and reign with him 1,000 years. He thrust in his sickle and he reached the earth, but he commanded the second time to thrust his sickle. He thrust in his sickle and he reached the vine of the earth. What is the vine of the earth? All the iniquitous systems of the earth.
And that's what he's doing now. Raising the bottom of the earth, which is the wrath of God. I see. And he casts the vine of the earth into the wine press, which is the wrath of God. Ever seen a wine press? Yes, you say you have. It's a large wheel on top. And you pull that wheel with the screw that goes down and gets tighter and gets tighter. And it's getting tighter every day, isn't it? Isn't it getting tighter every day? Why? You got it all in the wine press. You can't get out. That's where Hitler went. That's where Mussolini went. That's where Kaiser Bill went. That's where they're all going. And I didn't put that in the Bible. And wine press is figurative expression, highly symbolic. And the Lord just pulls the wheel. And it gets a little tighter. A little tighter. A little tighter all the time. Now, giving a talk of this kind in Pittsburgh, in the Canadian Music Hall, and I remember it too well, I reported 1,156 people out. And I mentioned the wine person. One man stood on the stage. He said, Mr. Speaker, he said, I am an attorney. I'd like to know and understand who will get in that wine person. They all would, wouldn't they? I said to him, sir, we always answer the question asked to me, but you can answer that question, I believe, right now. I said to him, what is the public debt of Uncle Sam? Oh, $257 billion. Then, but not now. Is it less now? No, it's about double. State and the nation. $257 billion. I said $257 billion in the red. Wine press. He clapped his head because I see it and he went and banged it out. See God. I hope you see it too. You see any way out? That's the wine press. And what's the wine press? The wrath of God. The 11th chapter of Revelation, we read something like it. The nations roaring today. When they become angry in 1914, they're still mad, aren't they? Haven't sobered up yet. The nations were angry and thy wrath has come. Now listen, what's the next? The time of the day that they could be judged. Judgment day gone upon the why? The wrath of God is beginning upon the earth. The second sound we read is, he sitteth in the heavens in his wrath. He has the ability which brings in the earth, and the rulers of the earth, and the judges of the earth. I wonder if he has been delusion today. And it says, he shall vex them in his sore displeasure. His sore displeasure of all of them. From everything you do down here. To them with his wrath. And that's what he's doing. And to see what's going on. He speaks to them in his wrath. Who? Christ Jesus the Lord. That's the day you're living in. And what is the next operation? The time of the dead of the day to be judged. Well, how will it come to pass? Lord, look down from heaven. That's enough now. That's enough. Be quiet. Be still and know that I'm the Lord. I will be exalted in the earth. I will be exalted among the earth nations. He will be the coming king. And rule in righteousness. And you say, be still. And be great calm upon the earth. That'd be grand. And the Lord is going to bring peace in earth and ill will towards me. No, we have that now. Preparation of war in earth and ill will towards man. But let it be peace in earth and goodwill towards man. Why? The praise of peace.
trust Jesus, to know His word, and His bride will be with Him to know Him enough that the saints have judged the world. Ah, that's another subject and a wonderful subject. We didn't have time to do that. It's a great, wonderful, spectacular judgment day is before us. I have another one I'd like to read. Isaiah, the 8th chapter, beginning with the 9th verse. See if you can locate this. Appropriate yourselves, joining people, and you shall be joining people. All in the far country, look at them all over Asia. Korea. Russia. All in the nations. All in the nations. Go to yourself. Get ready for war. And you shall be broken in pieces. Go to yourself and you shall be broken in pieces. 3 times in one verse. Now look at the 10th verse and see what they're doing. Take counsel together. What is here today? Every week that we pick up all TV news items, taking counsel together. Counsel, counsel, counsel. And what the Bible say about it, well, here it is. Take counsel together and it shall come to naught. Naught. Nothing should come of it. Face the world and it will not stand. Now you just put that in the Bible already, you're imagining it's been there all the time. Here we are. Almost to the day of the judgment. You know, I often think of the Empire State Building in New York. I've been on top of that. Cost you down and pay cents to go up there. It's 102 stories high. You take them out of there, take you up 80 stories, and you transport them over to another elevator. So you take up another 22 stories. 102 stories. The elevator can look all the way out to Staten Island, Statue of Liberty, all over the city of New York, and then taxi cabs down to look like little baby beds. 102 stories. But how did they build that? Well, I remember it too well. On Fifth Avenue, on that corner, there was a 9-story building. And that building had to come down. But they had a picture of the Empire State Building in the newspapers before they ever had the plans drawn. They knew what they wanted. And there was a picture in the paper about it. I saw it. Then they began to build this. But what did they do? They left it out to a contractor, and the contractor hired a wrecking crew to wreck the old building. They went way down the foundation. And when that wrecking crew was in work, he worked to build an 8-foot fence around it. All the dust and the debris and the separate structures and the dead hands were gone. Well, what was taking place? So the old had to put down before he could build the new. And then finally began to build that new 102-story building there. It is majestic. I liken that to the kingdom. The Lord would have to have a wrecking crew to tear down the old, wouldn't it? Before we could have the new, because he just had the old order of all things new, right down here. And the wrecking crew has been on the job since 1914, because the bill was one of them. Hitler was one of them. Oh, there's all kinds of men that are connected with that wrecking crew. They're just tearing down the road and they don't know it. Must go. They all must go, friends. For us. And then you have the new heaven and the new earth. The Lord Jesus and His bride, a new organized society upon the earth. And then the judgment day can begin. How could there be a judgment day? When you begin a judgment day for people, those who were living until the old structure was gone.
and it's rapidly passing away. He will give you knowledge. It will anoint you all the time.
That's right.
Then the time will come when they'll cast their silver in the street, and their gold shall be removed from them. And then we'll run out and pick it up, won't we? No, friends, you don't have a chance. Why? Because we've all cast that gold out already. It's all gone. Oh, my.
Here it is.
Billions and billions have been cast out. The avenues of war and relief. And 1914, until all the nations are bankrupt. And cast out the gold and silver. And their gold nor their silver shall deliver them. No gold or silver will deliver them. The only thing will deliver them is the Lord and His kingdom. Ah, then the individual judgment will begin. It'll be wonderful, won't it? Jesus says, when I am lifted up, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, of course, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And the world will be converted, won't it? You think men convert the world now? Oh, my dear. No. No, friends, then the times of restoration will be up again. I just want to read a little from the prophet there. Before we close, I'm sure you're going to receive a blessing from this. Have you ever read the 35th chapter of Isaiah? Oh, you can memorize it. That's good. Let us look at it. Say to them that is a fearful heart. Who has a fearful heart? Or who on earth that hasn't a fearful heart? And all holding his breath for what might take place. But someone is going to say something. The Lord said unto them that have a fearful heart. And that's what I'm trying to do. To the people that have a fearful heart. Give them joy and hope. Say unto them that have a fearful heart. Be strong, too, huh? Behold, your God will come with vengeance. That's the battle of Armageddon. Already begun in the earth. Pieces of Armageddon are here. And he will come with a recompense. But he will come to save you. That ought to bring joy to our hearts. Come to save you, not destroy or punish you, but to save you. Oh, that foul stain must still remove from the head of the Father's head. It shall be removed by the refuge, the holy, which will sweep away the refuge of lies. When the lies are going to be in vain, after the battle, after the Armageddon, after the wrath of God upon the earth. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, they're all blind. And the ears of the dead shall be unstopped. They don't come now, you can't get them to come. Still in time. When the time comes, then every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess to the glory of God. That's right. Beautiful, this wonderful chapter. The eyes of the blind shall be opened. And the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. And the lame man shall leap at the heart. And the tumbling of the dumb shall sing. You see, they must stop sometimes, don't they, during the Lord's yell. At that time, the curse will be removed from the earth. How wonderful it would be. And the earth, as he said, and a high road shall be there. And a way. It's going to be a way for the people, friends. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, such as be for those the wafering and those fools shall not enter it. Just think of all mankind, every man on earth could say, well, how foolish that then, the foolish thing just it is. Can't you? I say. Just think of the foolish thing. But over there, There'll be nothing like that when wait for him and the fool shall not err therein. Why? To be the kingdom of the Lord. No man shall leap at the heart. It'll be for those who wait for him and the fool. To no man shall be there. No adversary Satan. Don't be ready to bow, no ravenous beast, no giant crook. That many years is on today between labor and capital, isn't it? For the haves and the have-nots, there's going to be destruction, you think? See, if the Bible says there shall be no ravenous beast there, no giant crook will be there. Shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall be there. Wonderful. Now the tenth verse. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return. Who are the ransomed of the Lord? Jesus Christ, for the grace of God, tasted death for every man. And our Lord Jesus gave himself a ransom for all, the father of Adam and the entire human family. He gave himself a ransom for all that he testified in due time. Where are the ransom now? This proves it. The ransom that the Lord shall return. Where were they? Right here, Fort Collins, upon the earth. Where are they now in their grave? But they shall return. That don't mean you walk in the clouds somewhere, does it? What have we reasoned of the Lord? Read through the Bible. The ransom of the Lord shall return. Awake. Sleep in the dust of the earth, Mr. Awake. The ransom of the Lord shall return. How is it coming back? Are they going to be angry and die and fight? Quarrel? Let your heart know. Listen to what the Bible says. The ransom of the Lord shall return, and it shall come with songs and everlasting joy upon your head, and sorrow and pain shall fade away. Joy of the judgment day. When are you going to come back? You're not up there down there. They're in your grave. You died for them. But they might be aware of their resurrection from the dead. Have you ever looked at the word resurrection? Look it up for yourself. It's the Greek word anastasis. Means a re-standing. Father Adam lost his standing with God. Jesus paid the price. Bought the human family. And he's going to give them a re-standing with God. And it's going to take 1,000 years to do it. And in that 1,000 years, he's going to judge the world in righteousness. That's found in the 35th chapter of Isaiah. Oh, how many, many, many scriptures in the Bible. Too many. We could never go with them all. We have some literature here. If you'd like to have some of it, help yourself. Help you to see and understand these things. It's brought great joy to our hearts. Now when we pray, thy kingdom come, we know what we're praying for. Intelligently. Now as a boy asked mother, why do we pray thy kingdom come? She couldn't tell me. Only when she said the kingdom's in your heart. Well, the Lord didn't ever say that. Well, didn't the Lord say the kingdom is within you? No! Look at yourself. Write an imagine in your Bible. It says, the kingdom is among you. Because the kingdom is there, the king of the kingdom, the Lord Jesus. He was there. His majesty was there. Who was he talking to, the Pharisees and scribes? Did Jesus say the kingdom is in your heart, you Pharisees and scribes? You would never do that, would you? Of course not. But he didn't tell them that. Those Pharisees and scribes, he said, the kingdom is among you. There was Jesus, the king of the kingdom. And then he taught us to pray for that kingdom to come. If it were in our ministry, he would never ask us to pray for the kingdom to come, would it? Let us reason together. What a difference that makes. That's the truth. Now's the time to get the truth and bring joy and peace and happiness to your heart. With all the confusion, to go, Lord, and then talk. But the Bible shows there'll be another great conflict through the prophet Ezekiel. The Lord said, I will overturn it and give it to them whose right is. Two overturnings have already taken place. And you think the third one will come? Everybody's holding their breath. It will come, all right, and when we give it to him, whose right it is, who did it? Christ Jesus the Lord. And he will bring forth righteousness and judge the people in righteousness with the truth. That will bring joy for all mankind. What a difference that makes. I pray now, friends, that you receive the blessing. It's a warm afternoon. I'm not going to keep you any longer. I'll sometimes disturb you again. And from time to time, when these folks have a speaker come, they'll be glad to let you know, and we'll have some more meetings. I'd like to come myself. I learned to love you all. But now we're going on. Second service to call the next Sunday, this time, the afternoon. And as we go on, week two, asking him to do prayer, that you may be faithful to the Lord. And when I think of you here, you have my prayer. I pray for you all. My prayer.
We thank you, Brother Zinnow, for these words of enlightenment, for these words of understanding of the scriptures. We thank you for these words of joy on the judgment day. I cannot help but pause a moment in the thought that we understand. We are thankful to the Lord, to Christ Jesus, that we understand. Before long, we will be going out in the world of darkness. Before long, we shall be encountering those who do not understand. Those who live in the world and are of the world. If you understand, I can add nothing of the people to what you have said, because you have spoken in the Word of God. Nevertheless, they are seeking salvation through science. But I have devoted all of my life to it. There are no science. It is in the Word of God that you have just spoken. And I'm going to say that you would dwell the sacrament if you were to hold up this prayer and you were to float in space. You would think that there was mouth. And yet that could be done. By a system of magic, which is going to float into space. And those who knew not would mouth at that. And yet today, if you were to hold up this prayer, you would not indeed be able to have power. It's physically possible. Physically possible.